Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't know how much you guys know about me and my background here, but...
Tell us.
I went to Lower Merion High School.
And famous.
If that name sounds familiar, it's because every time Kobe Bryant was introduced before a Lakers game, they said Lower Merion High School, did not go to college. I'm very proud of my suburban Philadelphia roots. And it's funny, our next guest wrote a book on Kobe. Before we get to that, Maggie, I can't tell you, there's not that much interesting about me, but when I say I went to Lower Merion, everybody knows my high school.
Big conversation starter.
And nobody knows your high school, right? What was your high school?
Binghamton High School. Yeah, I got nothing.
And who's the famous alum? You or?
No. The most famous alum from my high school is Rod Serling.
Oh, the Twilight Zone. That's pretty good.
He created the Twilight Zone, which should inform everybody about where I'm from. The inspiration for the Twilight Zone is also where I grew up.
Best athlete out of Binghamton?
King Rice.
King Rice? Yeah. Did he even make the NBA, North Carolina point guard?
Listen, he was a great college player.
There's no pros out of Binghamton, New York?
He won the state championship his senior year of high school. King. Listen, we didn't all have Kobe Bryant going to our high school, Perloff, but I think what makes it even more special for you is that you played against Kobe pickup. You're bearing the lead here, as they say in journalism, and your brother played with Kobe on the Lower Merion.
Yeah, they were on the same team. Kobe dunked on my head at the Jewish Youth Center on City Line Avenue.
I mean, who gets to say that?
Actually, a lot of people who played in that era at the Jewish Youth Center.
Most people in the greater Philadelphia area.
So I could tell you how excited I was when my friend and a Philadelphia Inquirer columnist, great writer, Mike Sielski, It was announced he was doing a book, The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. I was so excited. I'm so excited to have him on because the book was not only about Kobe, but it was like a journey through my childhood. Mike, welcome aboard. But before we talk about Kobe.
Congrats on the book.
Yeah, congrats. And we're so excited for you. You just got to tell us real quick. We got to get the Jalen Hurts question out of the way. Are people in Philadelphia glad or are they mad that the team is bringing Jalen Hurts back as a starter?
I think people, first of all, thank you so much, guys. It's great to be with you. I think people are still skeptical that Howie Roseman told them the truth today. I think I think the Eagles are probably heading into this offseason saying to themselves, yeah, if we have to bring Jalen Hurts back, we'll bring Jalen Hurts back. But if there's a trade to be made for someone like Russell Wilson, we will jump on that too. So I think the initial reaction is, yeah, fine. But there's skepticism that the Eagles will actually, you know, fully commit to Hurts.
Oh, yeah. Mike, you and I are lockstep. I saw that. I was like, sure. Let's check back in a couple weeks here. You got those three first-round draft picks burning a hole in your pocket. Howie Roseman is always, you know, wheeling and dealing, as a good general manager should. So I only took that as with a big grain of salt.
So wait, well,
Go ahead,
Mike.
I was just going to say, guys, somebody reminded Howie at the press conference today that when he gave this similar press conference at the end of last season, he was asked about Carson Wentz and whether Carson Wentz was going to be back as the Eagles quarterback, and Howie had a kind of a memorable quote about that's like taking one of your fingers off your hand or something like that. And, you know, we know how that turned out. So, again, skepticism about Jalen Hurts' future with the Eagles as their starter.
Right. These 23-year-old alternate Pro Bowl quarterbacks who lead a bad team to playoffs grow on trees. I hate my city and how much I hate the starting quarterback. I'm used to that. But I do love your book on Kobe Bryant. Mike, I got to tell you, this is very emotional for me to read. And because so many people in that book were part of my life. We had the same eighth grade coach. You interviewed Dr. Smith, who was like my hero. I've read a million Kobe stories. So you went so deep. Tell me a little bit about your process. Did you just go and talk to everybody in Lower Merion, people at the school, old friends? Like, how did you start on this topic of Kobe Bryant's sort of origin story?
So, first of all, thank you for that, Andrew. So 2 months after he dies in January 2020, 2 months later, after writing several columns about him, I kind of got the idea, you know, and Andrew, you know this as well as anybody, Philadelphia is very parochial. It's kind of an under-the-dome sort of situation when it comes to sports and the way we interact with each other. And I thought, you know, the story of Kobe in the Philadelphia area and at Lower Merion is really well-known to the people of that area, but I'm not sure how well-known it is to people around the country and even around the world. So I thought of this. My elevator pitch for the book was, this will be Batman Begins for the Black Mamba. This will be Kobe's origin story. So I was in contact for a long time with a couple people who were close to him. Greg Downer, his high school coach at Lower Merion, still there, still the head coach there with the Aces. And a guy named Jeremy Treatman, who was a confidant of Kobe's when Kobe was in high school, kind of an assistant coach / media relations representative for him. And from those two guys, I pitched them the idea and said, if I do this, would you guys be willing to talk to me and help me? And they said yes, and then I was off. And I was trying to track down anyone and everyone I could from Lower Merion. I was going to the Lower Merion Historical Society and reading back copies of the student newspaper and the yearbooks and just trying to find as many people as I could from that time in his life who were willing to talk to me.
Mike Stielski is our guest. He's written the book, The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. And a week from today is January 26th. That will be the two-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant in the helicopter accident. And, you know, Mike, you got your hands on these really unique, like, archival footage is probably how I'd describe it, right? Interviews of Kobe when he was a teenager. What was he talking about in those interviews, and what did those tapes show you?
So, really interesting story, Maggie. It's a long one. I'll make it quick. Jeremy Treatman and Kobe had tried to collaborate on a book back when Kobe was in his senior year at Lower Merion and his first year with the Lakers. The book didn't come off. They weren't able to find a publisher, but Jeremy held on to the tapes and transcripts of some of these interviews. So fast forward 25 years, he finds the tapes. No one's ever heard them in 25 years. No, they've been in his garage. He's cleaning out his garage and he finds them and he gives them to me. So I've got the voice and the thoughts of 17, 18, 19-year-old Kobe Bryant describing to Jeremy the first time he meets Michael Jordan and what it's like, the setting of it, you know, before and after a Sixers game in 1996 at the Spectrum. He's talking about what he thinks of Del Harris, his first coach with the Lakers. I can tell you, not much. He did not think much of Del Harris. And it was quite colorful in expressing that. He talks about what it was like to make the decision to jump straight from high school to the NBA at a time when such a thing was kind of unheard of for a kid of his background and, you know, him being a guard. You know, he wasn't Kevin Garnett who had done it the year before. He was a wispy kind of guard. So those recordings really informed a lot of my writing and the storytelling. I was really able to get inside Kobe's head at that time of his life.
I have a theory, Mike, on Kobe Bryant. I think his athleticism is not elite. It's elite, but it's not one of the top 10 of all time. I think it is mental background, which I kind of read in your book, sort of how he formed this Kobe personality, which we saw not only when he was playing, but after he was playing, he was already starting such a successful journey. How much of that was sort of Lower Merion and the people around him and some of the teachers around him that made him into this incredibly competitive, incredibly smart, sort of, he just had a mental edge over everyone in the NBA, it seemed to me.
What you're asking about, Andrew, is was it nature or was it nurture? And my theory on Kobe is that it was 50-50. You're talking about a kid who, you know, was just born with this incredible drive and understanding deep within himself, he knew what he wanted to be. He wanted to be the greatest basketball player in the world, and he was committed at the earliest possible age to doing that. But he also had the benefit of some, you know, circumstances that were favorable to that, that allowed him to become that person. He was born in the kind of family where his father was an NBA player and his mother was the disciplinarian of the household. And they lived in Italy for 8 years and then came back to a very diverse community in Lower Merion that allowed him to kind of move in different social circles. And, you know, there's a lot there to him, I think. You're right. And it's a combination of both of those things, both of his environment and just who he was kind of intrinsically.
You know, I sat with Joe Bryant at a lot of my brother's games. Joe Bryant, of course, is Kobe Bryant's dad. Jelly Bean Bryant, former Sixer. He was a bit of a goofball, Mike. I don't know if any of your research showed that, but he was not like the killer Mamba guy. To me, he had a lot of fun and had a different personality than Kobe. Does that sound true?
That's 100% true. And in some ways, I think Kobe, as much as Kobe loved his dad, and they were very close, and Joe was Kobe's biggest basketball influence as a young, when Kobe was young, I think Kobe also looked at Joe as a cautionary tale. Because you're right, Joe was kind of a ne'er-do-well. Joe would be late for the team bus when he was playing with the Houston Rockets and miss practice. And, you know, he didn't have the Mamba mentality in the way that Kobe did. Pam Bryant did when it came to raising her family and protecting Kobe and standing up for them. But it wasn't Joe. And so I think Kobe, to a large degree, saw himself on a mission to kind of redeem his family's good name when it came to basketball. His dad was talented. His dad was kind of bitter that he hadn't gotten the chance in the NBA that he felt he deserved. He was 6'9", but really talented. And back then, if you were 6'9", they put you in the post. Nobody knew who Magic Johnson was yet until Magic came along. And I think Kobe took that all in and said to himself, I'm going to restore the Bryant name to royalty in basketball. That's part of my mission. At least it was when he was young.
Wow. Mike Sielski is joining us. He's got a new book. It's called The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. You know, Mike, I'm curious about your process because Kobe's legacy is complicated for a lot of people because of the rape accusation, the rape case in Colorado that ultimately got settled and Kobe did apologize to his accuser over that. And you're doing an origin story, yet you know that years later this happens in his life. How did you approach it?
It was really a point of concern for me at the start of the process, Maggie, because I didn't want this to be a book that came off as, this is about Kobe Bryant, who is the greatest person in the history of people. I wanted this to be a full reckoning of his life. I wanted to be honest and accurate, and I wanted someone to be able to read it and say, okay, from reading this book, I can see how he became the man he became. And I was very fortunate that I did uncover an anecdote, and I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't read the book yet, but I did uncover an anecdote from his time in high school that does kind of touch on what happened in Aurora, Colorado. It just kind of gives you a sense of, oh, okay, there's not a direct line to be drawn or anything like that. But the value of that, finding that anecdote, was it allowed me to not have to be ham-handed in kind of shoehorn discussion of Aurora, Colorado into the narrative. You know, I knew I was going to have to address it. It would have been wrong of me not to address it completely, to just overlook it. That wouldn't have been right. So finding that anecdote allowed me to just kind of seamlessly put it in the narrative, kind of leave it there for people to make their own judgments about it, but allow them to understand, okay, you know, the writer here, me, is committed to telling you the full story of Kobe.
Oh, yeah. I read it, Mike, and you're absolutely true. It does not come off like a glorification of Kobe Bryant at all. Although, if you're a Kobe fan, I think you'll find the book very satisfying. Mike, I don't really want to do this on air, but I have a pitch for you for the sequel to Rise. Okay. To Rise of Kobe Bryant's story.
I have no doubt it was going to come to this.
How about Sid, the story of Andrew Perloff, a Lower Merion High School bench warmer actually a very talented Lower Merion Aces. I played at the Narberth League. I played at the South Ardmore League. I was at every single place, every coach, every league. I was there. I scored 3 points a game, and Kobe scored 30 points a game. I don't know. Is there an Andrew Perloff origin story you think that will sell?
McLovin, the real story.
Yeah.
Like McLovin, the mediocre.
Yeah.
Andrew, let me tell you, I love you, man. But unless you were doing what Kobe was doing, unless you were driving around to the courts in and around Philly, and unless you had a friend yelling at you while you shot baskets, you're soft. You go to a suburban white school. You couldn't cut it in the Philly Public League. I'm not sure that the story would come off. Well, it's just my own.
I'll volunteer to do that.
Yeah, Maggie could do that. That's all true. I am soft, and I could not cut into Philadelphia publicly. Mike, did you go to the Kobe Bryant games that were like the Palestra, the big games? Remember, I don't know, Maggie, if you remember, it was games that were on TV when he was a junior and a senior. What were those games like? Were they as big as they seemed? I saw them on TV. I was away at the time, but it seemed awesome.
They were pretty big. And put them in context, too, Andrew. Like, you know, the Sixers stunk back then, right? Like the draft that Kobe comes out, the Sixers have the number one overall pick because they're the worst team in the NBA, or at least one of them. And so the Lower Merion Aces in 1995-96 are like the traveling roadshow of Philadelphia basketball. We've got the number one high school player in the country in our backyard. He's filling up the palestra against great teams, against Coatesville, which had Rip Hamilton, and Chester, which is one of the four or five historically top programs in the state of Pennsylvania.
Rasheed Wallace.
And Rasheed Wallace just finished up at Simon Gratz. They were huge. He should have been a bigger story even than he was. If you go back and look at the coverage of Kobe back then, when he's a freshman, sophomore, junior, there isn't a whole lot written about him. It's only at the end of his junior year when he really starts to blossom that the media in town kind of caught on to the fact that they had this incredible player and this incredible story right in their backyard.
Man. Mike Sielski is joining us. Just wrapping up here, Mike, and again, congratulations on the book, The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. What's the most Philly thing about Kobe?
Ooh, I think just that Mamba mentality, Maggie. I mean, if Kobe had ended up with the Sixers, he would have been beloved here. He would have been a god. You know, there's so much of it that has been made about his relationship with Philly fans, and, you know, in the 2001 finals with the Lakers, he said he wanted to cut the Sixers and their fans' hearts out, and he was booed at the All-Star game and all of that. I think that so much of that is a function of the fact that people around Philadelphia saw in Kobe what they wanted from any kind of athlete, that will to win, that talent, that drive, and they knew that they would have loved him if he played for them, and because he didn't, they hated him, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so he finally got a little bit more of that love at the end of his career. I was there the night he played his last game in Philly, and it was nothing but a love fest. But I think that kind of fraught relationship he had with the city was born out of the fact that if he had played here for his NBA career, they would have loved him unconditionally.
I totally agree. And Mike, you know, his speech patterns were very Lower Merion, by the way. I have friends who sound exactly like a young Kobe. It's interesting. His mentality, I think the sense of place is underrated with Kobe Bryant. Mike, and the book is doing great. I can't wait to see. I have some thoughts on either the TV series or the movie.
I think we know about the sequel, not The Rise, but the Sid, the Perloff story.
If you need some...
I got it. Andrew, I got it. The Fall. Andrew Perloff and the Pursuit of Mediocrity.
That's the person I want to be sitting next to. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for your time. Good luck with the book.
Guys, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.